Coming to the Greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. How much fun was that having Tonio on?
You know, it's great guy, great entrepreneur in the community. And you know what? And he's part of a new development.
Absolutely.
All that stuff that's going on over there at the, it's really the Legends District or what, yeah. Titletown District. But that's going to be a great hotel, very high end. I think it's classified as a boutique hotel. What they're going to offer to, as he said, you know, the consumers for kind of a throwback to what's it, Supper Club?
You know, yeah.
Maybe looking at that with old fashions and then upstairs having a higher end place for people to go to and have parties and events. Yeah, he's going to be great. He's been great for the city. He's going to continue to be that way. So, yeah, that was fun. That was a great guest.
And now another man that's great for the city of Green Bay, Northeast Wisconsin, Mr. Bill Schrader.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Bill.
I'm doing fantastic.
You always are. You have got great energy. You do so much. I mean, football, Johnny and I were talking yesterday a little bit about there's some people that played football and that was kind of it.
Yeah.
Whereas you, Mr. Schrader, have gone on to just do great things. I can't wait for you to run for office. I'm there. But between now and then, tell us what's going on in your world.
Yeah, you can count on me not running for office. No, I appreciate your vote for starting out already.
Your write-in vote.
And you could just call me Bill, because, you know, Mr. Schrader makes me sound really old, and I understand that I'm old, but, yeah, I think you guys are both older than me, so I would...
Yeah, we're pretty sure about that.
We're pretty sure, Bill. Hey, Bill, we actually could call you Billy.
No, he does not like that.
Oh, okay, I didn't know
I
that.
I called him that
sorry.
One time. He did not like that.
I,
remember,
sorry.
Bill?
I was just trying to get old.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I don't know if you did that on purpose with the Rush intro, but that was I like that for sure.
Nice.
That is. Yeah, we like
That's
that
our
too.
Guy, Jason. Thank you, Jason. Hey, Bill, one thing, you know, before we talk football and all the other different things going on, I was telling Jim a few minutes ago, the most impressive thing I've ever seen you involved with was I came out that time to do a story on you and the kids with cancer and how hands-on you were and how caring you were and how genuine you were. I don't know how many people know about that, but that's something that was really, really important to you, taking care of those kids with cancer, wasn't it?
Yes. It was the Bill Schrader Circle of Friends, and it was a trip that we put on every year for kids. When it first started, it was friends of mine who were in the NFL, and they would sponsor kids from their city to come to Wisconsin and spend a weekend doing outdoor things in the wintertime just with the kids. And no parents, nothing except for the chaperones and nurses. And over the years, it grew really big. And then I started doing it in the summertime, and that was just with the kids from Wisconsin. And then COVID hit and blew the whole thing up. And unfortunately, we can't do it because when you have kids in the hospital that need to get out, you can't have any diseases whatsoever that are spreading. And hold on.
But kudos to you. That was a whole different side of you that I saw there. That was really spectacular, no lie.
Yeah, I'm telling you, and I know we had the discussion about it where we do different things. We go salmon fishing. We go to shoot shotguns at some play targets, and we went to the new zoo and did their ropes course and zip lining stuff. And those kids taught me about fear and how to succumb to those types of things and just live life to the fullest, because I am deathly afraid of heights, and I'll never forget when I had to go down that zip line, and it was with a little girl that was terrified of heights too, and she forced me to go on it.
That's great.
This day, it's just one of the greatest things that I ever did.
Yeah. Salute to you for that, buddy.
Yeah, that's awesome, Bill. You're a good dad, and I think that just, you know, you just took that to another level by reaching out to those kids. What else are you working on now?
Oh, man, I tell you, I've been traveling all summer, doing lots of different things, got home projects going on, and the football season starting up. Going to be working for the NFL, going to all the home Packer games, and my daughter is off to med school in Madison, so I'll be taking a few trips there.
There you go.
My son will go back out for football, so he's at UW lacrosse, and I'll be going to a lot of his football games this year.
What are you doing for the NFL, Bill?
Uniform inspector.
Oh, you got that job. Cool. Johnny Gray used to have that at one time, right?
Johnny still does have that.
Oh,
Bill's an understudy. He doesn't want to say that.
Well, I've been doing it for almost 10 years now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sorry. We didn't do our research like we should have. We're all about the mixologist.
Hey, Bill,
earlier.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did I see you when the great, great athlete from Denmark, Mr. Alexander, accepted a scholarship to the Naval Academy? Were you part of that?
Correct. I'm a trainer over at Synergy Sports, and do a lot of personal training, mostly for track and some football. And that was one of the athletes that I had been working with, and just a fantastic man. And I've been in contact with his dad for quite a few years. And when it came up that his son needed a little work in track, we got together, and I tell you, it was great young man, great opportunity for him to go to the Naval Academy, and it's wonderful.
That's awesome that you, again, I people,
that's what I mean about former Packers that stay here and still become a, they don't just live in the community, they make
they
the community better.
I'm not
trying to blow smoke up.
No, about that yesterday when we were talking about you. You're just one of those guys, and we need more of that.
Yeah.
We have a lot of it, right? We have a lot of good people in Green Bay, but boy, that's, you look at,
I got to ask you that about the one thing, because when I was, and I go way back, obviously I'm really old.
You are.
But Bill, there was always a theory, two things you couldn't teach people to do: throw a baseball harder than they naturally can, or run faster than their God-given chromosomes or whatever. Those have kind of been dispelled, those myths.
I don't think it's chromosomes, John.
Well, you know what I mean.
That's like, man, okay.
Gene pool.
Okay, whatever. Bill,
what?
Bill, what Johnny's
I'm
trying to
ask
you is,
what you inherit.
Are people born with an ability, or can you, as a coach, John, I'll ask the question, get them to exceed what they may think is their ability?
What's that called when they...
That's called a stupid question, John.
No, in politics where it's like, I cede my time to somebody else or whatever. The senator from Missouri cedes his time.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Okay.
But what that is that if you get 10 minutes on the clock, like we're going to take from Houston, you could give your time to someone else.
That's
who would have
I mean.
12.
Yes.
What does that have to do with?
I'm just saying, I'm allowing you to ask the question.
Oh, I see. You're giving me the time.
Yes.
Now that's appropriate. I thought you were trying to tie it into this.
No wonder you only became mayor and not governor. Wow.
You guys are half perfect for each other.
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't think so. But Bill, back to John's, as he fumbled through that question. So someone thinks they can run a 100-yard dash next or 40-yard. Can you get them to do more than genetics.
Oh, here we go.
would allow them. Okay, let's look at Bill on the air.
Yes.
Bill, how are you?
Good.
Go ahead.
Can make somebody faster from the genetics that they've been given?
Yes.
Is that the question you guys are looking for?
In a roundabout way, yes.
Yeah. I technically, yes, you can. It's not just making them run faster like the $6 million man. It's being able to work with their form and mechanics and strength and putting all those things together, because I've learned over time that 99% of the people on the planet run incorrectly in some way, shape, or form. And when you work on those things, you can refine exactly how they should be sprinting to make them faster.
Wow.
There's not a way that you could just say, oh, yeah, I can make you faster, but there's a way. It's just like practicing in anything. Can you make somebody a better football player? We'll practice, absolutely.
So it's through technique that if a kid said, look, this is the fastest I can, the hardest I can throw or the fastest I can run, they come to see someone like you. You look at their technique, and if 99% of people are doing it wrong, it's a great opportunity to correct something, and they can get faster
and really,
or stronger.
A tenth of a second is huge.
Oh, man, and especially when they get to his league.
I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. If you guys know much about track and field, Kenny Bednarik is one of the fastest men on the planet, and he lived in Rice Lake when at the same time my daughter was in high school, he was in high school, and he was the fastest man. He still holds all the records at lacrosse for the state track meet, but I was actually asked to train him to work with his start because his start was so terrible. And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to work with this kid. And I actually got to see him run at the tri-state competition where it's Illinois, Wisconsin, and Iowa, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And my daughter got asked to run in it, and Kenny was there. And I got to watch him run again, and his start was just so bad. And I'm like, if anybody could work with this kid's start, he'll be so much better. Well, he finally reached his potential, goes off. Now he's running professionally. And all these people that have worked with him, it's like he's got much better starts. He's so much faster. Now he's one of the top sprinters in the world.
Wow.
And came from Wisconsin. So you could sit there and look at a kid when he's in high school and say, well, he's already running 10.2, 10.3 in high school. How can you make him faster? So to make a long story short, yes, you can change things.
Right.
And even with the top people in the world, you can always make people better with technique and practice.
Well, Bill, we're going to talk a lot more about that, but we're also going to talk about your Packer days. And another thing I want to talk about, I know a lot of people, you know, it's been a hot topic, although you don't hear as much about it anymore, but about the concussions and all those sorts of things. And I was talking with Chris Jackie last week. We had Chris on the show here, and I told him what I still think is one of the most amazing stories about what the NFL used to be like in regards to the, I don't want to use the word, but I'm going to use a disregard for guys being hurt during the course of the game and making them stay in that game. And you know the story I'm going to ask you about, Bill, right, when you were with the Lions?
You bet.
Okay.
All right.
We need to talk about this. This is fascinating. Bill Schrader joining us right now, Mino and the Mayor, right here on WGBW. We'll be back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Tuesday morning in downtown Green Bay. Christy, who runs downtown Green Bay, is joining us. Thanks for hooking us up with Tony O. He was phenomenal, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
What a good guy. Well, another good guy right here. Bill Schrader, former Green Bay Packer wide receiver, but that's only part of his story. With what he's done in the community since his playing days has ended has just been spectacular, absolutely outstanding. And Bill, we were talking before we went to the break about the whole concussion thing. And again, just to put it in microcosm, we're not talking about the 1950s era here where guys were in leather helmets and were out there, you know, doing crazy things. Tell that little story, not a little story, tell that story though about when you were playing for the Lions and you got lit up and you still had to play in that game. Can you tell that story to give people an idea of what some of you guys used to go through on the field?
Yeah, I mean, back when I was with the Packers, I can tell you, Dr. McKenzie, who is still with the Packers, he and I became really close because of the concussions that I had. And he was always so concerned with all the things that I've been through with each game. And he was always, he was really ahead of the game when it came to concussions. And so fast forward, when I go to the Lions, I got a concussion playing against Minnesota, and I was knocked unconscious, came back, walked to the sideline. I started walking to the wrong sideline first, but walked back to the sideline, and within three plays, I went back into the game, finished that game. Next week, played in another game, honest to gosh, can't even remember the name of the team that we played, but got a concussion in that game, went back into that game. And the next game, again, don't remember it, didn't have anything. But the fourth game, now this was in a row. This is an away game. I got a concussion late in the third quarter, and we were getting beat pretty handily in this game. But I remember going up for a pass, getting my legs taken out, landing on the back of my head, and again, knocked out. And I got helped off the sideline by the trainer and the doctor, sat me on the bench, and it wasn't long after that, and they were asking me when I was ready to go back in the game, and I just said I couldn't.
Right.
I, you know, everything was spinning, and just things weren't right. And they were not happy, and they kept asking me over and over, and I'm just like, I can't go back in. I just, every time I've ever been told or asked to go back into a game, I've done it. And it's just the way I played. And it could have been my demise in Detroit because I said I couldn't go back in. But I just didn't feel right after that. And that was three concussions in four games. And I went back in after the first two. And when I tell doctors that story, they can't believe that I went back into those games. But back then, you went in under your own power. If you felt like you could play, you played.
Wow. Yeah, we can't believe it either. So, Bill, so that concussion thing, and John's right. It's not talked about as much as it used to be. I remember Jordy Nelson was big on, I remember asking him if he'd let his kids play football, and he was very worried about concussions. Do you think the NFL's doing enough?
Well, can I back up real quick?
Oh, yeah,
though? Bill, that's one thing with your son, who's a phenomenal athlete in football and track and everything, but you didn't let him play at too young of an age, did you?
No, I didn't. He played flag football for many years, and in fact, I coached Donald Driver's son. My son and his son played on the same team with flag football because we wouldn't let our kids play at a young age for tackle football. And, you know, it's just, you see the effects of it long-term with some of these people. You see some of the short-term effects. And I just felt, you know, I didn't play until I was a freshman in high school. And I felt the same way. It's like, I want to give my son a chance to grow, to mature into his body before I'm going to let him start smashing around his head.
Right. And I think at that, and other professional athletes like you have said, that flag football is fine because you really want to learn.
You're right. The techniques and different things, the run patterns.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to be hit at, what, 12 years old?
Or, yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. And, so how about today? I mean, you think, you know, you see always during the game, oh, we're going to stop this because somebody from upstairs said they might have a concussion. Do you think we're doing enough now?
I honestly do.
Good.
You can never say they're doing enough because you can't stop concussions. You can't, it's part of nature. And I hate to say this, but from a player, from a coach, and from a parent, you can't overprotect your kids, but you can definitely protect them. And I think the NFL, with all the different helmets that they have and all the medical people that are on the sideline that I talk to during the games and the people that are up above watching for it, I think they're really, obviously, they're very concerned with it, and they're trying to do that the best that they can. You know, that's
good
thing
to hear. That's encouraging for us fans because, you know, we love the game, but we don't see guys get hurt. You talked about the helmets. Johnny, I'll tell you this. I used to go to a lot of auctions, and I bought a helmet one time that was autographed by somebody back in, I don't know, the 60s. And, you know, then I have some current ones. What a difference.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean,
the old suspension helmets.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
There's a couple of pieces
Bart Starr's helmet.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a lot there. So.
No.
Oh, that's good. They're making those advances. So your son, did he miss the football thing because of this? Or did he's a great track star like his dad?
Both my kids were fantastic track athletes through high school, through college.
Nice.
My son's going into his junior year. So, yeah, he's still doing track and doing very well at that. I don't think he was behind the eight ball with anything because, like you guys had mentioned, he learned how to play football by doing flag football.
Right.
And I have so many parents that ask me, when do you think your kid should play in this and that? Every kid is different. And, you know, if you have one of these kids who's a giant already in third grade, yeah, you can let him play football, but is he learning the correct techniques of how to play the game?
Billy, hold that thought. We got to send to a real quick break.
He's our guest.
Mind on the Mayor, back right after this. Welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here, 97.9 FM. Bill Schrader, former Packer wide receiver, is our very special guest. I have to tell one quick story here, Bill. Our president, is he president, Mike, of our company?
He's VP.
VP of our radio Civic Media. Okay, is he president? He's president.
Oh, he's president. Whoops.
Was the videographer for most of your college football games at lacrosse?
Okay.
And he actually played, like, intramural softball with you?
So he says.
Here's the deal.
People embellish.
You want to talk about a competitor?
You guys Bill used to hang out.
Listen. So this is Mike Crute. I don't know if you remember Mike Crute. Told us this story.
He obviously doesn't. He hasn't acknowledged it.
Can I finish?
Yeah, okay, go
Jim,
ahead. Sorry. Yeah,
drink your little whatever you got there. And
you, Tony.
He said you came back to play intramural softball because you wanted to win that softball championship of lacrosse intramurals. True story or not?
Mike, he's our president.
I'm gonna throw the concussion thing out there that I don't remember.
That was a nice time.
Very there good. You go. All right. Now you should go into politics.
Right. See, that was perfect.
Perfect pivot, as they say.
I am not gonna say that didn't happen. I did do a lot of intramural stuff. And you would always get an intramural T-shirt for being a champion. And absolutely 100%, I wanted to see how many T-shirts I could get. So, yes, that would sound 100%
that,
like me.
That would fit right. Yep. Now, that's cool. Hey, Bill, so that was intramural. What about these coaches today? And parents, I don't know what they would ask me about sports, but these coaches today that want the kid to play one sport. You agree, disagree? You think that's
nope.
good?
What? Nope. That was nope. quick. I will shoot that down right away because I have learned from many, many different trainers and athletes throughout the world that I've worked with and talked to that the majority of your top athletes have done more than one sport in high school. And it just goes right on down with it. When you're constantly doing the same thing over and over again, your muscles are not as adaptable as they should be. And they just kind of get into a certain way, kind of like when you lift and you do the same lifts all the time. Your body just doesn't change very much. And when it comes to injuries, your body needs to do different things and to adapt to certain things. And I completely feel that kids get burnt out a whole lot earlier when they're only doing one sport as well. And I shot that down forever. And I know there's some parents and some trainers that think, oh, you know, you do one sport, you can just concentrate on that. Sure, you can, but you're going to get burnt out. You're not going to feel what it's like to be in a second sport and really enjoy what a second sport could be. And
or even maybe appreciate the sport you're in. You know, I think it's, you know, I think kids should do more than like one thing, right? You know, I think it's okay to, now I'm a little bit more of a musical background, but I think it's okay sometimes to, no, I just don't, John, this is my analogy. You won't get this because you're from Ichpeming.
But
play a couple different instruments, learn a couple languages. I think that's healthy. Besides, Bill's talking about more the physical part, how you're using a certain muscle group and to do a certain sport. But I just think you're only a kid, and I mean a kid, high school kid, for 4 years. And I just think to get pigeonholed at that young age is not doing justice to the kid. So I would just encourage kids to, you know, take extracurricular things. And I'm opposed to the one sport thing only because I think it narrows their perception on what's all out there. But I mean, you're speaking as a professional athlete, and you don't agree it should be one sport either. So I'm kind of...
Kevin Borseth says that too. Head basketball coach at UW Green Bay for the women, of course. Kevin says that he thinks that's one of the reasons for the proliferation. Is that the word? Did I pronounce that right? Yes.
It's an L.
Of knee injuries for women's sports because they concentrate so hard on basketball that they don't... Exactly what you said, Bill. He just feels that the rest of their muscles, you know, don't get enough, you know, flexibility and things like that. And they're so locked into that one mode that when you make a different type of turn that maybe you would have made in soccer all the time or even softball all the time or something else all the time, there's no give to it and things snap. So that's exactly what you were saying too, right, Bill?
Correct. When you take a younger athlete, and I'm saying all the way through high school too, because kids are still developing, they're still growing. And when you can refine some of these motor skills and some of the muscles that they're building, and you can increase and strengthen those things through different sports. Now, soccer is a perfect example. Basketball is another example. Football, when you're not just going in one direction or two directions, you're constantly going in multiple different directions. And you can lift all you want. You can practice your sport all you want. Injuries are going to be there, but playing another sport or training a different way than just your sport will decrease the odds of you getting injured. And Coach Borseth is right on. I mean, there's so many women that get injuries from their knees because of soccer and basketball, because of the inability to strength train in multiple sports or different ways than just their sport allows.
And I feel like I'm a little out there a little bit. Is there anything to say for the mental part of playing multiple sports? You know, if you play basketball, play tennis, then football, do you think your mind works a little bit different and opens it up to other opportunities for technique, scoring, for, teamwork, anything?
Yeah, I think it does. Throw it out there. Look at poker players. Look at how many different minds people have for being poker players.
Right.
And a lot of athletes become poker players. It helps with your mind.
Yeah.
And the mind is just a crazy thing. And if you get stuck on one sport, yeah, I completely believe that your mind can just stay straightforward. But when you play multiple sports, now you see different angles of what a ball can do or different angles of how to win a game or whatever. And I mean, I'm an example of, I played every sport as a kid.
Right.
You would never find me at home. And I'm not going to sit here and say I wasn't a video game kid. I loved Atari more than anybody. And that's throwing out my age a little bit. But
well, John still plays Pac-Man. But
I've never played a video game. I don't know how.
Oh, well, they weren't there. That's right.
I did everything growing up. And
that's awesome.
I didn't know what I would like and what I would love. I knew I was baseball, basketball, football. I was that kind of kid. But I grew up liking softball a lot more than baseball. And I became what I felt was a really good softball player. And up until a few years ago, I was still playing.
Have your kids, I'm curious about your daughter, who's a doctor or in medical school. Does she have that?
Well, your daughter's a doctor, right?
Yes. But I want to ask him about, is she open to everything? You know, I just, my kid had done a lot of different sports and music. And I think that really helps them.
Well-rounded.
Right, and it does. But then they get into these. I was wondering what field your daughter is choosing, or if she's still going back and forth to OBGYN, to the general practice, heart surgery, the brain. There's just so many things.
It's all wide open for her. Right. She would love surgery.
Right.
She's met a lot of wonderful doctors here in the area, and they all have different opinions. Even surgeons that say, yeah, you should probably just go into this, or general practice people say, oh, you should go into this. So So she's leaving it open, but she's got a great head on her shoulders, and whatever she decides is good.
Yeah, I think that comes from you.
I feel so old because I remember when she was like four. Hey, Bill.
But I think that's cool that you've done, like you said, when you were a high school kid, and I'm sure you let your kids play all these different sports. So parents, Bill, as you know, will do pretty much anything for their kids. Do you recommend any kind of camps in the community, any kind of training in the community that can help a kid kind of hone their skills?
Well, yeah, I do. And I'm going to throw it out there that I think the guys and gals at Synergy Sports here in Green Bay do a fantastic job. And it doesn't, you can come in just for a general class. You can get specific training. They're very knowledgeable in what they do. And it's not just a camp. You just don't come in and you have 60 kids doing the same thing and there's one or two coaches or trainers that are there. You don't get specific training when you have that many people. Right. And I think what people miss is when you go to a camp and there's so many people there, what's the ratio of trainers to kids? It's just like in school. How many kids to a teacher do you have? How much learning do you get if your child is the one that needs that specific one-on-one hands-on training?
Right.
And that's what is missed in our society today is, oh, I'm going to send my kid to this camp. Well, what's the camp going to do for your kid if they're not learning anything because there's 80 other kids that are getting the same training and there's no specific help?
Yeah.
And I think that some of the training that is out there is not good enough. It's just to recuperate money, but I think some that is out there is extremely good. And you just ask the kids that go off and do this extra training, is it good for them? And you ask the parents and the kids, and every time they're going to tell you, yes, getting the extra training is definitely worth it.
Awesome. Hey, Bill, we've got some text coming in. Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, we have a text saying, refreshing perspective. It's the new culture that parents created, thinking getting a college scholarship is the answer to all. Parents need to be the change. How do you feel about that, Bill?
Oh, boy, that is right on. Scholarships are wonderful to get because it obviously helps pay for schooling and everything else. But you got to let your kids have fun, number one. And if they're not enjoying it, they're going to go off to school and they're going to quit in a year and then they're going to lose that scholarship. I've seen it time and time again that every parent wants their kid to go D1 and get that college scholarship. And more times than not, unless they are the most elite athlete you've ever seen in the state, it doesn't last a whole long time unless, again, they're one of those kids that's played more than one sport and they get it. Getting a scholarship isn't a great thing. It is. I mean, that's fantastic. But is your kid going to play for 4 years at a D1 level, or are they going to sit the bench for 3 years and possibly play their fourth year?
Or dangerous with that, Bill, is when a parent wants to live their life through their kid.
No question.
It's like, you know, let the
I've seen
kid
that
be
a billion times. A billion.
That's just not right. No. I mean, you know, Bill, you let your kids do whatever they want. Yep. You encourage them and support them, as Johnny and I have done. But, boy, when you hear these parents maybe they didn't make it, or maybe they...
I could literally write a book on that.
You've got four books already.
I know. Bill, we got another text for you. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, so the texter mentions a few high schools in the area, but about their weight rooms and how they are a perfect example of putting athletics in front of education.
Yes. There, you do see quite a bit of this. I'll throw out Kimberly and Bayport have some of the best weight rooms I have ever seen, from private donors or whatever they do. And look at their sports programs. They're always top of the notch. But I think that's good for the community because that's getting the kids into the weight room. That's getting them better for their sports so they can be better athletes in their sports. So I'm not going to say that's a negative thing, that they're putting sports ahead of academics. They do have obviously better sports teams than a lot of the areas, but if you want to go to a school as an athlete and you see a phenomenal weight room like one of these two schools have, that might trump you going to that school than to somewhere else.
However, I want to say that those schools, though, Bill, you got to admit, they also turn out a pretty good academic product, too. And I think if the school can have that balance between extracurricular and state-of-the-art venues, that can work.
Yes, and I think that helps bring those kids in to have a better academic education as well. I completely agree.
Awesome. Bill, can you stick around again after this break? This is fascinating. This is really good stuff.
You bet.
Thanks,
awesome.
Bill.
Awesome. Bill Schrader joining us. Mino and the Mayor will be back right after this.
No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on WNFL. This segment, WNFL. I knew I was going to do that. He WGBW. That's right.
We talked about that this morning.
I know we did.
It was been in your head.
I know that.
Plus, you've been drinking. So,
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
I'm just kidding. Tony was on, and he just talked about mixology.
Segment anyway. Brought to you by Pella Live. We've got Bill Schrader, former Packer wide receiver, joining us right now. We haven't talked football, Green Bay Packer football at all, Bill. We've got about 7 minutes to do it. First of all, what did you think of the initial exhibition game? I know you can't get a lot of those, but just the little things you saw that you liked or disliked.
I got to start off with saying I liked how the defense didn't give up a lot of first downs in that first half. You know, it's been questionable that they say offense is what they're always trying to build around Jordan Love, but I thought the defense was spectacular.
Right.
What'd you think about Jordan Love and Clifford?
They started off on the right foot. I like the fact that they didn't try to attack downfield every other play and go for the big home run. You know, a lot of coaches like to start off their quarterback with completions at the beginning of the game, start with some short passes and get that confidence going. And I think they did that. You know, they took a shot or two downfield, but I think with both those guys, that's what they started doing. And, you know, I think this is going to be a good setup for the Packers. I hope Jordan can get a lot of experience under his belt real quick. I mean, this is who he's taking after for the last two quarterbacks that you've had is a challenge that I wouldn't put on anybody.
Yeah.
And he's going to be under a microscope for as long as he's a Green Bay Packer, just because of being behind Rodgers and Favre. And, you know, is he the right guy for it? He really could be.
Johnny is convinced. I think people are like, well, you know, it's our turn now to have a losing season. And, you know, I
don't feel that way.
I know you don't at all.
No,
I think Johnny really thinks that, you know.
I love his release. I love his feet. There's a lot. And that's just scratching the surface with him. I think he could be special.
But I would ask you, Bill, all the focus, too much of the focus is on the quarterback, although that's what the NFL is today. But what about his, as they call you guys, weapons? Do you feel good about them? I mean, you've got a perspective that none of us really have.
Well, I hate to say it, but we'll see as the season goes. I can't go out there and say that. Do they have a Donald Driver out there? Do they have, you know, Randy Moss, that they have all these guys that are surrounding them. Every year you get new weapons. And look at what happened last year. I mean, you get some of these guys who are rookies that come in and all of a sudden they're superstars. The quarterback and the receivers need to be on the same page with everything. And you might find that we have another diamond in the rough. We might need some more help around. I don't know. It's too early to see. But what people got to understand is in the NFL, everybody's great. Yes, you have your superstars that you should have, but does bringing in the top receiver in the league to Jordan Love, does that mean that we're going to have a better offense? No, it doesn't. It's what's the chemistry within the offense that's being run, the play calling, and then within the players. So I think it can be a fantastic season. I've been a Packer fan since the early 70s. So I've seen the crap. I've seen the great. And I'm really hoping it's another great year.
Awesome.
Hey, Bill, one last question for you here. Is the most mad that Brett Favre's ever been at you the day that you went out really, really early and shot a deer in, like, the same area he was hunting?
It wasn't the same area he was hunting. He was just mad that I shot two deer on opening morning, and he saw nothing. So, yeah, he didn't, for 2 days, he didn't throw me a pass.
True story.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Bill, one last thing just before we wrap it up here. Just some advice. Once again, we're talking with these, about the young kids, and I think that's so important. And you've pretty much devoted your life, your second career, towards helping young athletes. For some parents listening out there whose kids might be 3 or 4 years old and not in those first stages, just some advice you would give them from the things that you've seen, you know, good or bad, what would you like to pass on to them if they think their kid would like to play sports?
Let them play the sports they want to play. If they go out for baseball and they're having trouble in the game, just let them try it for a whole year. Don't let them quit halfway through. If they realize at the end of the season that's not for them, let them try something else. But let kids play sports. Let them try other languages. Let them do things that kids want to be. Don't force them to do something. But if they do start something, force them to finish the season. And I
think that's great advice. And I think you talked about let them try different instruments, but don't, you know, this isn't a 2-week deal or a 3-week deal. You got to commit to it. We'll commit to you for a year. But I have a brother who just, I don't know, was not big swimmers in their family, and his kid went out and the coach goes, this kid's got talent. So I think you got to, as a parent, even though you didn't do it,
right,
you know, like sing, John.
Correct.
For you. Like, I just think it's important that your son may be exposed to chorus or the Swinging Knights or something. So I think that's great advice, Bill. And, you know, you've got great kids. You're just a great community leader. And I just want to thank you for all you're doing.
And Mr. Schmidt, I will definitely say both my kids played instruments throughout high school, and I played it in high school. I hated it. I shouldn't say it. Well, I did in elementary school. I hated it, but I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
Same thing with a foreign language. I couldn't stand it. I had a tough time learning it. My daughter is pre-med, and she's also a Spanish major.
Yeah.
She has two majors, two minors.
Yeah.
So
it's awesome.
Yeah, let people go out and try different things. Let your kids, because your kids learn from you. They really do.
Yeah.
Do people know your wife is actually the best athlete in the family?
No, not true.
Concussion.
Hey, Bill. Blame it on Mariucci. I don't remember.
Right, yeah.
Hey, Bill Schrader, this has been an absolute gem of a show with you on it.
Yeah, thank you.
We can't thank you enough. You've always been a great friend, and you've done so much for local charities behind the scenes quietly that nobody knows about, and I do know about it, and I salute you for everything you've done and what a great part of the community you have become.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, guys. It's great catching up with you guys again, and I love being a part of the show.
Great.
Awesome.
See you on Saturday.
We're going to have you again, okay?
Sounds great. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. Bill Schrader joining us with some great advice, great insight.
He's a great person, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All great person, great athlete, great dad.
It's been
great
a fun show.
Guy. This has been a
Christy,
show.
How much fun has this show been?
Hey, Christy, thank you for your help getting.
And your buddy, yes. Joe, or Tony O. Has yeah. just been phenomenal, texting back and forth.
We'll
I know, I'm all over the place today with names, huh?
A little too much coffee this morning, but
I
no,
hope
we'll,
it's coffee.
We'll have them in studio. It'll be a blast.
It will.
Awesome,
yes,
fantastic.
For sure.
Hey, we've got a great guest tomorrow. I know we're running out of time here, but we're going to talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month is coming up. We've got Dr. O'Connor coming in to talk about it. There's some fundraisers going on, and we, you know, that's a big part of this community, education, knowledge. So join us tomorrow, Dr. O'Connor and the rest of the people from the breast cancer.
Also, civic media. President Joe Biden is in Wisconsin today. You'll find complete coverage of his visit with WGBW and WISS. Special coverage of his trip to Milwaukee. Mino and the mayor, it's been a really fun show. Thanks for joining us. Back tomorrow morning. See ya.